Welcome to week two of the introduction to medicine on Shabbos. This is meant to just be a quick overview before we get into the Nishmas Avram's introduction to medicine on Shabbos, and it will enable us to follow what he says fairly easily, I'm hoping. Last week, we started out by looking at just the basic principle that saving lives overrides Shabbos. We talked a little bit about what's involved in that. We said that it isn't only about saving lives, but it's also about the standard of care, whatever is normal for taking care of somebody who is in a life-threatening situation, unless you know for sure that this particular act is not necessary in order to save lives. We also talked a little bit about Shabbos being dechuya as opposed to hutra, the idea that if there are ways to minimize the violation of Shabbos without in any way, shape, or form endangering saving the life of the patient, that is a responsibility. And I think we mentioned last time, it'll become more clear when we get to practical cases, that that's really something that's more applicable in terms of preparation in advance than in the moment. In the moment, we're always very worried that requiring people to do things in unusual ways and so on could reduce the effectiveness and potentially endanger a patient. The last thing that we did was to start talking about the gezeira, the rabbinic decree, regarding shchikas samamanim, the concern that in the event that people will take medicine on Shabbos, they could end up grinding things to make medicine. We had two concerns. Concern number one is concerned that somebody who knows, you know, that they're allowed to take medicine and needs something and then realizes they're out would grind something in their desperation. Concern number two is the concern for confusion. I gave them in the opposite order, but that's okay. Concern for confusion that people who see you taking medicine might think you're allowed to grind things on Shabbos. So because of both of those, we have this gezeira. So that was the the point that we got up to last time. So what I want to do this time is continue that discussion about the decree against taking medicine in our day. I'm going to post the link in the chat again for the source sheet. That's not going to help everybody here in the room. Either you have it or you don't. But we'll talk about the question of, wait a minute, people don't grind medicine today. Why is this an issue? And we'll also talk about the exceptions to this decree, the cases in which one may take medicine on Shabbos. And if we have time, then we'll start also on the very important hierarchy of levels of illness on Shabbos and what we're allowed to do for each level. And that's really what I want to accomplish as part of the introduction before we can start on the Nishmas Avram introduction. Note as well that next week we don't have this class. Instead, we have the 7 o'clock Zoom, the topic of halachic frontiers in genetic intervention. I'm having a lot of fun preparing it, and that should be fun. And it's the same Zoom. You just use the same Zoom that you used to get to this. Same information will get you there. Okay, so the question always arises when we talk about this concern of lest you grind things. I wouldn't know how to grind medicine if, like, you could spot me the ingredients and probably a set of directions, and I still wouldn't know what to do. If you handed me a block of acetaminophen and told me the dosage, I wouldn't dare to try to, you know, grind it up and make a pill out of it. So, like, why is this an issue in our day? So a number of poskim have dealt with it, a number being more than one. Several poskim have dealt with this issue over the last 150 years or so. The most famous is Rabbi Eliezer Waldenberg, the Tzitz Eliezer, and his treatment of it. If you take a look at source 25 on the source sheet, so he writes the following. Harei shediek Rashi leva'er shebegav nada ein chashash. He's talking about the case in the Gemara regarding a person who uses eyewash. There's something that they use that they prepared before Shabbos to clean out their to treat their eyes fundamentally, and as we're going to see later on, that's permissible on Shabbos. Why? Number one, you prepared it before Shabbos, and therefore you know not to grind on Shabbos. You specifically prepared it beforehand. And number two, no onlooker is going to think that you're allowed to grind things on Shabbos because they don't realize this is medicine. They think it's just something you're using to wash your eyes out. In context, we'll see, it's actually, they think it's wine, which sounds a little strange. But nonetheless, that was the thing back in the day. Last week we talked about prescribing people hamburgers in order to get their iron levels up. So now we have people washing out their eyes with wine. It was a much more fun medical landscape. So the Tzitz Eliezer comments on that, and he says, "Don mina, we could draw from there. Hakol shaleka hekera legabe didei, o afilu kishenikar adavar laacherim shalokeach ze mishum refua kayemes, bazeh gzera kvalis ashrika samanim sheyavou litos, ohu o acherim." So he says, you can deduce from this. The fact that we only permitted it where you had a reminder by making you prepare before Shabbos, and onlookers won't make a mistake. So that will, because they won't understand that what you're doing is medicinal. So you can deduce from there that if I don't have the reminder for the user, right, or in the event that there is a concern that somebody who sees might come to think you're allowed to do it, Chashashu, they were concerned. Di'im natir kichas refuah lemechoshin, that if we were to allow people to take medicine for their aches and pains, mitoch she'adam bahul al tsa'aro, since people are upset when they're in pain, isharis le'asigam l'shachuke, k'shelo yimtza menamuchon lefanav, we're worried that he might come to grind when he doesn't find anything ready to use. That's the Tzitz Eliezer's presentation about the concern for desperation. Now, though, we get to the key part of his tshuva. That really belonged with last week. Now we get to the key part of his tshuva in source 26. Ulufia hezber ha'amur b'das harambam hatur v'ashulchan aruch. Sheyotze lanu al pi divrei hataz. Tzarech lios efo adin bizmanenu. Sheyeshnam refuos ke'ela l'sugei machlos. She'adam prati lo yuchal b'shum panim la'achinam v'la'asosam. He says, according to the explanation that is offered, that you're not allowed to. Well, all right. What he's saying is something we're going to get to. This his introduction is something we're going to get to. We're not there yet. I'm going to explain it for a moment, just to explain that, just that we'll see the rest of the line. The Taz, the Rabbi David Alevi, classic commentary to the Shulchan Aruch, is going to come up with a very interesting and somewhat controversial leniency for Shabbos, for medicine. He's going to say that you are allowed to take medicine on Shabbos if it is purely for pain relief, if it doesn't cure anything, purely for pain relief. You'll see, we'll get to what he says and why he says it, what his basis is, how many people argue with him, but that's the Taz's position. But then he addresses the following question. What if there's a medicine that could be for pain relief? However, it is also possible to use it for medical treatment, for curing an illness. Let's say you had, I came up with the case of cough drops. I'm not entirely sure that this is accurate, though, so I hesitate to use it. But the idea of a cough drop that has medicinal elements to it, but on the other hand, it just makes your throat feel better. So even if you're taking it just to make your throat feel better, it still has medicinal properties to it. So the Taz will say, then you're not allowed to use it on Shabbos. That's part of the discussion.
Aspirin has tremendous medical.
Right. So aspirin. Right. So aspirin's a good example of it. Yeah. So but the bottom line out of that Taz, which I'm not really doing the Taz justice right now, we're going to come back to him. But the bottom line out of this concern of the Taz is that you're not allowed to use a treatment, even if you can get that treatment in a way that doesn't involve grinding, you're not allowed to use it if there's a possibility of treating via grinding. That's really what matters. You can scrap what I just said, because I think it just confused things more than it needed to. The point of the Taz for our purposes is that in the event that I have a way to treat somebody that doesn't involve grinding anything, however, there are methods that do involve grinding, then I'm not allowed to use my treatment. That's really the. I'll give you the better case and scrap what I said before because it's just confusing things and mixing in things that don't need to be mixed in. Let me give you the better case. We're gonna see discussion about massage on Shabbos, talking about something that is done in order to induce a person to sweat. That was why they did it in the days of the Gemara. It was meant to induce sweat, and it was purely physical. There was no grinding of ingredients. However, they had other means of inducing sweat, right? You could give someone hot peppers. I don't know that that's what they were using, but they would grind stuff up and make some kind of potion the person would take, and that would cause them to sweat, which was believed to be good for them. So what we say is, you're not allowed to massage the person in order to induce sweat because you could have also given that person medicine, which is ground up, in order to induce sweat. That's where that's what they're building on. But he says, and this is the key for us now, after the part that's in brackets, he says the rule should be today. Tzarech lios efo adin bizmanenu. Sheyeshnam refuas ka'ela lesuge machlos she'adam prati lo yuchal b'shum panim lahachinam v'la'asosam. He says today we have treatments for particular illnesses which nobody could ever prepare. No individual is ever going to be able to grind up and make the medications that we use for particular illnesses. There's no way. De losug machala kazos. So we should argue that for this kind of illness, she'ein trufala ki im misugei trufos she'adam prati lo yuchal b'shum panim la'asosam, that for this kind of an illness where nobody could grind anything up to treat it, dazai muter lo shaver lakachtam b'shabes b'makom tzara, b'hiyos she'ein sheichus refua l'machla zos ha'idei shrikasam anim klal. He says, in that case, I should be allowed to take the medicine on Shabbos because no one will ever end up grinding in order to treat this. This isn't the case of inducing a sweat where somebody could grind something up to do it. No one could ever grind anything up. Vim kein lo havi ze bechlal agzera. So therefore, it shouldn't be subject to the decree at all. This particular case should not be subject to the decree. What he's saying is something very narrow. In other words, this is not a broad "let's get rid of the gzera" approach. That's not what he's doing. He will, but he's not there right now. What he's saying right now is, I know that under the terms of the gzera does not apply for treatments which are never ground up. Our treatments for a whole host of illnesses are never ground up by individuals, and therefore you should be allowed to give it to somebody on Shabbos. Clear? That's argument number one. Va'afilu am himatzei yimatzei sug b'nei adam shal mi'uta dimi'uta. And even if you were to somehow find some minority of minorities of people, shemachzikim b'to'elas asiyas trufa she'te'una shrikas samanim gam l'sug ma'achala ha'amura. They have, in fact, some way to grind something up for this particular illness. V'gam machinim osa be'es hatzorach. And in fact, they do prepare that in a case of need. Mikomakom yeshlomar da'afilu hachi aleinu laleches bazeh acharei rubat di'alma. Nonetheless, we should still say we follow the majority of the world, right? Even if you know how, right? Dr. Block has been practicing medicine for a long time, and he has a compounding pharmacy in his basement, along with a place to develop negatives also, the photography lab. We have all the different trades that no one can practice anymore. So let's say you had such a thing. I would say, okay, but the vast majority of people have zero access to anything like that. V'dochak l'chalik b'zeh b'ein kishalokhim trufa shalo shayach b'klal shrika samanim l'bein kishalokhim trufa shekein yesh b'zeh shrika samanim avalinazis b'batei charoshes v'rak adam prati eino yachol l'hachinam. And he says, it will be very difficult to say, well, you know what? It's true that, you know, we don't do it. We don't grind up. But in the factories, they do, right? Somebody is churning out aspirin, Right? There are people who are doing it. They just do it in a factory with special machines and special knowledge and special, you know, whatever. Like, that does exist. They, hang on, Ben, I see your note in the chat. They, you know, even if you were to tell me that, you know, that exists over in the factory, I would argue that that's not relevant, says the Tzitz Eliezer. The, why? Demaishna, dezil basar taima. He says, doesn't matter, because on the ground, the person who's taking the medicine and all the people who see them taking the medicine are not able to make the medication. Yes, there's somebody on another planet, you know, where they make these things and they, you know, ship them out of whatever factory, but that's not what's going on in general. So Ben asked the question about somebody with a swallowing problem who needs tablets and pills ground for swallowing. So that's a whole other question. It's a good question, but it's not where we are right now. Right now we're just dealing with this general decree against grinding things up, against taking medicine lest you grind things. But your question is a good one, just not for right now. If I have time before the end, I may address it. So if you're following the Tzitz Eliezer in source 26, if you're in the Hebrew, you want the third paragraph, V'ra'isi b'svarim k'tzos ha'sholchan. In the English, it's the last paragraph, and I saw it in k'tzos ha'sholchan. He says, V'ra'isi b'svarim k'tzos ha'sholchan, and in the body ha'sholchan, which is his own footnote to himself, in k'tzos ha'sholchan, as well as the .. Lomar shalo yehei shayach bizman hazeh gzera samanim. He says, there's also a second argument, which is different from the first. The first argument is that the decree never applied to medicines where nobody grinds it. His second argument that he quotes is that the whole decree doesn't apply in our day from beginning to end. And others have written that, he says. They're making an overall statement. Aval hema danim b'derech klal. They're making a generalization. Uboya mala mikoach tam debat alatam. Their argument is the reason for the gezeira no longer applies. Umemela ma'orim mashiyesh lidon da'aval pi shabat alatam lo bala ha'gezeira. That leads to a discussion. Do we say that when the reason no longer applies, then the gezeira no longer applies? Ayin b'divrayim ba'arichus. That's a whole discussion, right? That comes up with many different gezeros. But he says, I'm not making that argument. I don't need to make the controversial argument of a decree no longer applies when its reason no longer applies. I'll tell you, the decree absolutely applies. But this was never under the decree in the first place. In the same way, to give a different example of it, Tosfos talks about the concern for giloy, right? The idea that if there is a liquid that is left out overnight, exposed, you're not supposed to drink from it. Why? Because venomous creatures could have gotten into it and gotten their venom into it. We know that among venomous snakes, there are biters and there are spitters, and spitters may well have spit their venom into the drink, and therefore you should avoid it. But Tosfos already said, in our lands, in Western Europe, we don't have creatures like that. That's not a thing. And therefore, this gezeira doesn't apply. The gezeira was, you know, you can read that in two ways, but their argument is the gezeira doesn't apply because the gezeira was never made for places where there are no such things. The gezeira was made for places where there are such things. That's all. So do we. This shouldn't apply to the medicine. I'm not removing the gezeira. I'm saying the gezeira wasn't meant for this. But then he says, uva'ofen klali kasha lidon lahatir bizman hazeh. He says, this is hard to permit in our day. After having made the argument to permit it, he says he backs down. Why? Ki rabu od rabu bekerav ha'edos hashonos shemishtamshim gam betrufos betios. He says, because it's not true. He says there are lots of people who have home remedies, right? People who make the homeopathic medications, people who make home remedies, they actually do grind things up. And indeed, there is such an issue. It's not a minority. I mean, it is a minority, but it's not a tiny minority. He says there absolutely are people who grind medicine in our day. unless you say, well, I don't consider that the same quality as, you know, fill in the blank, aspirin, antibiotics, whatever, so what? The reality is that there are people who are trying to treat illness by grinding things up. So his argument, therefore, is the decree stands. Rav Soloveitchik was asked about this. Rav Soloveitchik also felt that the decree still stands. I think there's another reason the decree stands, separate from what he's saying here, which is there are so many leniencies and workarounds for it that while there will still be cases where you can't take medicine on Shabbos, in the vast majority of cases, and in all cases in which there is serious need, you end up able to take medicine. One way or another, it can be done, and therefore you don't get serious halachic consideration of maybe this really shouldn't apply or maybe this should be rescinded. And we're going to see now all the different exceptions to the rule, and you'll see what I'm talking about.
The one thing that isn't is pain.
Sorry?
The one thing that isn't is pain.
The one thing that isn't what is pain?
That you would not be able to take a medication, a pain medication, theoretically, even though there's one sheet that says...
Oh, no, you'll see. You'll see. That once you get through all the exceptions, like you have to work to come up with a case where you can't take medicine. You'll see. The first exception is not... I think of it as exception zero. That's why I call it on the sheet 5/6 exceptions, because the first exception is really exception zero in the sense that it's not a narrow exception. It's this rule doesn't apply for this case at all. We didn't get to yet the hierarchy of illnesses, but I'm going to give you the cheat sheet primer. There are three divisions of illness in halacha as far as Hilchos Shabbos. Top layer is threat to life. Okay, so that's pikuach nefesh, safek pikuach nefesh, or to use other terminology, cholesh yesh bo sakana, safek cholesh yesh bo sakana. Someone who is dangerously ill or might be dangerously ill. That's the top tier. Second tier is chole she'en bo sakana. Somebody who is ill, but they're not in danger. You could leave them in their state and come back a week later and they're not going to be dead. They may be miserable, right? They may have suffered, but they're not dying. They're just in a lot of pain and their body is ill, and we'll talk about the definitions of that state. I'll also lump together for now, we'll discuss the differences, sakanas aver, a person who is in a position in which they stand to lose permanently some function of a part of their body. Some part of their body, if not treated, will no longer function properly. So those are the second tier. And then the third tier is what I think of as non-optimal health. People who are fundamentally healthy, but there's something going on with them. They have a headache. I don't mean a migraine. Migraine ends up being cholashem bo sakana territory. But a person has a headache. They have a stomach ache. They have a cough. They have most levels of like ragweed type allergy, something like that. Non-optimal health. So my first exception to the rule is that somebody who is, obviously somebody whose life is in danger, but also somebody who is a chole she'en bo sakana, in that intermediate category, is allowed to take medicine on Shabbos. Beginning, middle, and end. So this whole gezeira doesn't even apply to anybody in the top two of the tiers. So your person with a migraine headache is 100% allowed to take medication on Shabbos. The person who has a serious fever, not life in danger, but just they have a serious fever for which you can't really put a number because it depends on the person, their stage in life, their relative health, and so on. But the person who has to go to bed because they have a fever, they can take medicine on Shabbos. So this gezeira isn't even applying to cases like that. Take a look at source number 27 from the Shulchan Aruch. In context, the Shulchan Aruch is talking about a different exception, which we are going to get to, which is the heter for food that also has medicinal properties. So let's say the doctor says you need potassium and you should eat a banana every day. So is my banana food or is my banana medicine? So since anybody who looks at bananas says those are food, even though you're doing it because of a particular medical deficiency, you're okay. Brian, I see your note in the chat. Does danger need to be imminent or long-term complications? And the answer is we have to discuss. That's one of those things that we need to talk about. It's a great question. I think you were there when I did the CPAP shiur at Shai Shamayim. We talked about that then, the issue of long-term complications. But by the way, those online, feel free to interrupt with questions. Like, don't feel like you have to be polite and be on the chat. You can't see it from there, but I was wearing a poppy today. I was very Canadian. Don't be polite. So the Shulchan Aruch is dealing with that issue of people who are people who are eating food that healthy people eat. And he writes the following. This is the Shulchan Aruch number 27. V'chol she'enu ma'achal u'mashke b'riyim. Anything that is not what healthy people normally eat or drink. Asur la'ochlo v'lishtoso l'refuas. You're not allowed to eat or drink it for medicinal purposes. V'davka mishe yesh lo mechush be'alma. But that's specifically if it's somebody who just has a low-level ache. V'hu mischazek v'holech kabari. And he's able to walk around like a regular healthy person. He has a sore throat, you know, something like that. Avalim ein lo shum mechush. But he says, if you don't have anything wrong with you, mutter, then you're allowed to take medicine on Shabbos. That's another leniency. If you're not sick, you can take medicine. That may be a terrible idea, but you can. You may. And then the Rama writes, V'chenim nafal l'mishkav shari. Also, a person is bedridden. They're allowed to take medicine on Shabbos. So what you get from here is the person who is bedridden, which is one of the definitions of chol hashem bo sakana, one of the classic definitions, is allowed to take it, whereas a person who just has a mere ache is not allowed to. So exception zero, as I think of it, is that the person who is bedridden, the person who is chol hashem bo sakana, is allowed to take medicine on Shabbos. This gezerah was never meant for them. Clear? Good? Okay. Then we get to exception number one. So exception number one is what we were talking about with the Taz before, in the beginning of that piece from the Tzitz Eliezer. Somebody who has an illness that is not treated ever by grinding medicine. You never treat it that way. Not that you're not going to treat it that way right now, but no one treats it that way. It's a Gemara in Avodah Zarah, source number 28. Amar Rabba Bar Zutra, Amar Rabbi Chanina. Malin Oznayim B'Shabbos. Rabbi Bar Zutra quotes Rabbi Chanina to say, you are allowed to elevate ears on Shabbos. Right now, I don't know what that means, but we'll get to what it means. Tani Rav Shmuel Bar Yehuda. Rav Shmuel Bar Yehuda says, B'yad, you're allowed to do it by hand, avalo besam, but you would not be allowed to use medicine to do it. Ika de'amri besam avalo b'yad. Some said you could use a medication, you just can't do it by hand. Why? Because it would cause bruising. I'm not getting into the discussion about by hand and not by hand and all that. That's not germane for the immediate discussion. What are they talking about with elevating ears on Shabbos? Is that something they ever do in the NICU? Hmm. Elevating ears. So Dr. Julius Preuss wrote a book in German called Biblical and Talmudic Medicine, which is fantastic. He goes through all of the medicine that you find, as you see, biblical and Talmudic medicine, and, you know, especially what you see in the Gemara, and tries to explain what that is in our understanding of medicine today, or in his day, which is, you know, over a century ago now, or about a century ago. Dr. Fred Rosner did the translation into English. It's popularly available. So look what he explains here. He says, among the commentaries, Rashi, who still had many orally transmitted traditions at his disposal, is of the following opinion. The sinews of the ears sometimes go downwards and dislocate the jaw, so that they must then be raised again. You're treating a dislocated jaw by pulling up the ear, which sounds painful. Of course, dislocated jaw also sounds painful, but Lipschitz, I believe, is a reference to the Tiferes Yisrael, Rabbi Yisrael Lipschitz, is also of the opinion that the case refers to subluxation of the jaw secondary to yawning, which can be corrected by lifting the patient off the ground by his ears. It is difficult to comprehend how a dislocated jaw can be reduced in this manner. Right? Do not try this at home or in the hospital. To reduce a dislocated jaw, the Alexandrians used a characteristic bandage which they called, I think this is pronounced, lagus sin otiatis, meaning hair with ears, or sin otiatis for short. Orbasius described it very precisely. You follow? It's a rabbit. It's rabbit ears. A rabbit ears bandage. The Talmudic commentators may thus be correct in their interpretation of the case as referring to dislocation of the jaw, although the ears, which they believed are those of the patient, are in fact the bandages which resemble ears. So what you would do is, you would attach a bandage to the patient's jaw, and you would pull up on the bandage to try to adjust the jaw. And that's what the Gemara is talking about when it talks about elevating the ears. You follow? That's the idea. So, relevance for us is, you're allowed to do this on Shabbos because no grinding. You can't cure a dislocated jaw by grinding something. That's not happening. So therefore, you are allowed to do this. Therefore, you're allowed to do this bandage thing.
In this day and age, you can.
In this day, you can cure.
You give naproxen, and that would be a ground up substance theoretically, because.
But how will it? How will it cure a dislocated jaw?
Inflammation around the jaw itself, so the jaw goes back into place with the dislocation.
That works.
TMJ dysfunction.
You can, wait, all you have to do is reduce the swelling and then it'll go back into place on its own?
It might very well, yeah.
That's interesting. So, I mean, it's
that's
an...
That's how you would treat a TMJ. Initially, right. When I see a TMJ, I start on a non-steroidal anti-inflammatory.
Mm-hmm. Is that the same thing as a dislocated jaw?
Well, it's dislocated, but it's a jaw that...
Right, so you'd have to distinguish between conditions. But what Dr. Block is pointing out is this sounds like something which will change over time. You know, depending on what your illness is. You'll see another case of it in a moment where the same question arises. Mishnah Berurah in source number 30. Mishnah Berurah writes, Misha chash be'eino, if a person has aching eyes, which is usually understood to be some form of a headache, nos nim kle matchus al ha'ayin k'de lekarer. So they'll take metal and they'll press it around the eye in order to cool off the area around the eye. They'll put a ring or some kli, some implement around the eye, so that the inflammation is not going to spread. So there again, you'll say, well, nowadays we use anti-inflammatories. Because of a chayy adam, v'adin the mutter lidchok pesakin chabura k'deish lo tispashe. The chayy adam says if someone has a bruise, you could press the flat of a knife against it, also to keep it from spreading. And the Shar HaTziyun is the Mishnah Berurah's commentary to himself, says, Nira dehatamhu mishum de'ein derech lasos devarim elu b'samamanim. The reason why you're allowed to do these things is because we don't normally do them with grinding things. Ulakach ein ligzor mishum shchikas samanim. So therefore, we're not worried about lest you grind. As opposed to illnesses which can be treated with grinding, it's just that you're not going to right now. So that's the massage case that I mentioned before. If you take a look in source number 31, the Shulchan Aruch writes, Ein misamlin, lehit amel in modern Hebrew is to exercise. Those who are familiar with the Rav Kook controversy in Orot know it may also be used as code to refer to military training. That was a whole discussion. When Rav Kook wrote about hit amlut and the value of hit amlut, that's always the discussion. Was he talking about exercise, or was he talking about military training? But neither in this discussion in the Shulchan Aruch. He's talking about exercise and as a form of massage specifically. Hainu shedores al aguf bekoach. You press on the body with force. Kidei sheyigav v'yazia, so that the person will be tired and the person will sweat. The aser litcho kreso shaltino kde lahotzi arei. You would not be allowed to press the belly of a child in order to cause the child to excrete. Now, parenthetically, if that's a medical need for the child, you absolutely would be allowed to do that, because we'll see, children have automatic cholosh embo sakana status. We'll see what age, but you're talking about a tinok, then yes, this is going to qualify as cholosh embo sakana. So that's a separate discussion. But the point for our purposes is, he says, no massaging the body to induce sweat. Why not? Mishnah Berurah asks, Ein lahakshos, don't ask. Kemen she'en kan shaychos shchika samanim, since there's no grinding, hayo lanu lahatir kamo b'sif shachareza, we should permit it, just like the next discussion in the Shulchan Aruch does, when things do not involve any grinding. Yesh lomar dekeven shlef amim mevien hazeh alachole gamkein ayidei samanim, since they sometimes cause sweat via ingredients, via potions or whatever, chayshin shiyase refua cheres, we're worried you might do the other cure, as opposed to cases in which nobody would do that. So exception number one, after exception zero, is illnesses that are never treated by a medicine that you grind up. The next exception is one that's very popular, it's somewhat controversial, and that is an ongoing course of medicine where skipping it would be harmful. That has to be a part of it, that skipping it would be harmful. And this comes from a Gemara in Erevin, which actually is important in a couple of different ways. So it's important to know about. But the application will be for things like antibiotics, antifungals, that kind of thing. So Rav Shlomo Kluger is the pioneer of this issue. If you take a look on the sheet, he brings you source number 33. They're talking here about somebody who has a bandage that was already on before Shabbos, and there's some kind of an ointment that's on the bandage. Satana Rabbanon, Brisa says, Ritia Shapir Shamal Gabe Maka Machzirin B'Shabbos. If a bandage slips from somebody's wound, he's allowed to return it on Shabbos, as opposed to where you removed it on purpose, which is a separate discussion we're going to have to come back to, but where the bandage just slipped off, so you're allowed to put it back on Shabbos. Why is that okay? So take a look at the Tosfos there. Tosfos says, Perish Bekuntras, he quotes Rashi, L'shchikas samamanim leka lamechash, we're not worried about grinding, kevin dimei esmol hava ilave, because it was already on before Shabbos. So since you prepared it before Shabbos, we are okay with you doing it. You did the work beforehand. You also see... Yeah, sorry?
Sorry. Can you change... Like, you know, when kids have Band-Aids on them.
Yeah.
When they come off, you can't get the Band-Aid to stick again. Can you take a new Band-Aid?
So does the Band-Aid have an ointment on it, or it's just a Band-Aid?
I'll take both answers.
Right. So, and the truth is, when I start mentioning ointment, then you end up with a separate question of what's called memareach, smearing something. So I'd rather deal without the ointment, because that simplifies everything. So a pure Band-Aid, no problem. There are rules you have to be cognizant of, like don't stick the Band-Aid to itself, because attaching it to itself is tofer, causing, it's like stitching. So you want to wrap it around their finger or whatever in such a way that it's just sticking to the skin and not to other material. Yeah, there are other discussions to be had. How do I open the Band-Aid? All this other stuff, which we'll have to get to at some point, not in the introduction. But the answer would be yes. What we're talking about in the Gemara's case is a case of a bandage that, number one, has an ointment on it. Number two, where there's no issue of memareya, where there's no issue of smearing the ointment. So another example of this is in source 34, the Gemara in Shabbos Daf Kuf Mem. Rav Acha bar Yosef chash b'yokra deliba. Rav Acha bar Yosef got sick. He had some kind of literally heaviness of the heart, the chest pain of some kind. As lekamei de Mar Okva. He comes to Mar Okva. This is not on Shabbos. Amar le zil shasi tlasa tikli chiltasa b'tlasa yomi. And Mar Okva, apparently a doctor of some kind, says to him, you should take three measures of chiltis. Chiltis is known as, anybody know what this is? Asafoetida is the term for it. It's Latin, I suppose. But it was medicinal. It was very sharp-tasting medicinal herb. So he's told that you should have three measures of asafoetida across 3 days. So azal ishti chamsha b'shabbos umale shabbos. He has it on Thursday. He has it on Friday. Letzafra azal shal b'medrasha. In the morning, he goes to the base medrash and he asks, "Am I allowed to take this today?" Amar lohu rechia bar oven. So rechia bar oven told the sages, "Bididi hava uvda. This happened to me." V'asoi sheilte l'rab ad barava. I asked Rab ad barava. V'lo hava b'yadi. He didn't know the answer. We embarrass him by including that in the Gemara, but I guess it's a big deal that he was asked. So that's Shabbat, right? That's praise. So Asai Shilde Le Rav Huna asked Rav Huna, V'amar Hachi Ki Amar Rav, and Rav Huna told me what Rav said. Shora betzonein umaniach pechama. You can soak it in cold water, and then you can put it into the sun. Kiman de shari. And the question then is I'm not going into the whole like preparation of it and the cold and the hot. The afil man de asar hani mili hecha de lo ishti klal. Even one who would prohibit having it on Shabbos, that's only if you've never had it before. Avohacha, but here, kaven de ishti chamsha umale shabsa, since he had the medicine on Thursday, and he had the medicine on Friday, ilo shasi b'shabbos mistikin. If he doesn't take it on Shabbos, it will actually be bad for him. When it says istikin here, it does not mean danger. It's not like his life will be in danger, but there will be some harm, some illness that results from the fact that he didn't take it on the third day. So what we're seeing here is permission to replace a bandage that was on before Shabbos, permission to continue this course of asafotida. So why is this okay? Is it really just that you had it ready beforehand, or is there something else? So the Rambam, when he discusses this, I didn't bring it on the sheet, but it's in Hilchos Shabbos, Parachav Beis, Halacha Zayin, says the issue is, what we just said at the end of that Gemara, lest he become sick if he stops. So it's not a heter of he prepared it beforehand alone. It's also, it'll be bad if he stops taking the medication. There has to be a harm to it. If you take a look at source number 35, you see this in Rav Moshe Feinstein in dramatic fashion. He says, V'im hu ish kazeh shemachma sheli hisrape behapilin tzarech asara yamim retzufin. If this person is the kind who needs 10 days in a row of the pills in order to get better, she'yef shebalo she'ikach gam b'shabes lo yuchali hisrape. So you have to take it on Shabbos, and if he isn't, he's never going to get better. So Yechle mitzadze b'chushas ha'atzabim. He says, you know what you're going to do to him? If he can't ever get better, he's going to have anxiety, nerves. Shekorin nervin. That's what we call them, nervin. Sheyechashash la'machla shenikra nervin breakdown. That's why you write it, in case you were curious. He says, if you're going to say that this guy can never get better, he is going to have a terrible, terrible panic attack. This person is in the category of someone whose whole body is ill. If he's vulnerable to a panic attack like that, he says, so then he would be allowed to do it. He should do it with a shinoi, do it in an unusual way. And we'll talk about that when we talk about Cholashem Bosakana. He should be doing it in an unusual way. Even though you can't really swallow things in an unusual way, that's a discussion we'll get to. Do kasva shlichis sham. V'miyav shebishinoi, and if he can't do it in an unusual way, yesh lahatir gam below shinoi, then you can do it without a shinoi. And that's all part of a discussion we have to have when we get to chola she'in bo sakana. But the upshot for us in all of this is that we have a heter to take medicine which is a daily thing, for which there will be harm if they can't take it on Shabbos. So that becomes a well-known heter that people rely on from Rav Shlomo Kluger. As I said, it is somewhat controversial. Not everybody likes it. However, Shmir Shabbos Kehilchasa brings this kula, and he quotes Rav Shlomo Zalman Orbach, which I brought you in source number 36, where he says, Shamati me'agon Rav Shlomo Zalman Orbach shlita, Dirakim ha'afsaka tigrom lo nezek. You're only allowed if stopping would cause harm. Osha rafua hidavka mispar yamim ritzufim asher muchrach li'o Shabbos b'neim. It goes over a period of days, which has to include a Shabbos. That's considered harmful, that he won't be able to get better. Ki az yesh lahakel, then there is room for leniency. That inevitably leads to certain practical questions which have to involve a doctor. Like, a person has a 5-day course of antibiotics. Right? Shabbos is day 5. So the doctors, responsible doctors, will say, take all 5 because you don't want antibiotic-resistant, you know, microbes out there. You know, but on the other hand, they'll say, well, okay, but if I didn't take it on day 5, how much risk really is there? Like, why 5 and not 6? Why, you know? So that's something that has to be discussed in a, you know, particular case scenario. But this is exception number 2. Clear? Note that this is not just something that you take every day, but it's a course of medication taken daily. So questions to think about, which we'll have to discuss. What about somebody who has insomnia? They take it every day, but it's a different illness every day. It's not like, you know, you're taking it daily as a cure for insomnia. Take it a certain number of days and then the insomnia is gone. That's not the way it works. Or a person who has heartburn, right? So it could be that they eat kinds of foods every day that end up giving them heartburn. But it's not a daily, you know, course of medication. Okay. Exception number three. Medicine that was mixed into food before Shabbos. So this operates on the following principle, which we're going to see in a couple of the exceptions. Number one, you prepared it before Shabbos. And number two, no one is going to think that you're taking medication, because everybody who sees you thinks you're just eating food. It's a very handy heter, right? We already mentioned before the eye ointment, right? You prepared it before Shabbos and people think you're washing your eyes out with wine, right? It's that type of a case. So if you take a look on your sheet in source number 37, Shulchan Aruch, Shora Adam Kilorin Be'erev Shabbos, V'nosin Agavei Ha'ayin, you're allowed to soak this Kilorin ointment before Shabbos and put it on your eye. She'eno Nira Ela Karochetz, because it just looks to everybody like you're washing your eye out. V'hu D'lo Amitzu Pasach, assuming you don't squeeze your eye closed and open it like you're applying drops. V'lo Cheshinim Mishum Shrika Samanim, we're not worried you're going to grind. Dekevin Shlomi Tiru Lo Lishrosan Elamei Erev Shabbos Ika Hekera, since they only allow you to do it before Shabbos, you will always know that you're not allowed to do it on Shabbos. And this is brought in the poskim, it's brought in the Minchas Yitzchak. This is my favorite heter, the stuff mixed into food before Shabbos. Because obviously you can't use it with all medications, I realize that, but it's very, very handy for people who need to take a pill. You stick it into something which is a fairly dry food, so you're not worried about, you know, interactions and moisture and whatever it is. It's okay that they know exactly where it is, and therefore they're careful to swallow it as opposed to chew. It's fine for them to do that. And that way they're able to take whatever they need to take. And now you start to see what I meant when I said you can basically get around this without needing to uproot a gezeira. Okay. So question in the chat. What about long-term courses of things like metformin, thyroid medicine, blood pressure meds? You can skip a day, but it's not recommended. So good questions, very case-by-case dependent, especially because a lot of those will qualify as, you know, cholesh aimbo sakana or even pikuach nefesh because of the long-term needs, the impact. You know, if you'll say you can skip a day, then maybe not. But then the question becomes, what if you can take it just before Shabbos and take it again right after Shabbos? What are your timing requirements? Like, it's a very case-by-case type of a thing.
Is it right time to ask the question about supplements?
So supplements are a big category. We are going to get to them in the course of this year, God willing, but it's not going to be for right now. But it's a very good question. And actually, it does fit with what's coming next, so I am going to address it somewhat. Because the next category is, I referenced this earlier, what we call ma'achal briyim, where I talked about the banana, right? Healthy people food. Food that healthy people eat. And this does feed into Dr. Block's question, no pun intended, regarding the blurry line in our day between medicine and food. Meaning, a major reason why we eat food is to treat deficiencies in nutrients. You know, I need protein, I need iron, I need vitamin B, I need, you know, fill in the blank, whatever it is. So what's the difference between that and medication? You know, historically, that wasn't the way they looked at food. The concept of food as, you know, providing nutrients is a relatively new idea in the scientific world. So that wasn't the way food was looked at. So how do you distinguish between food and medication? So what we attempt to say is that items people consume as part of normal eating are called food and not medicine, as far as this gezeira is concerned. The emphasis is on ma'achal, right? That which people consider food as opposed to medicine. That's the idea here. That's what we're talking about. So if you take a look in source 38, the Mishnah in Shabbos, Kol ha'ochlin ochel adam l'refuah v'chol ha'mashkin shoseh. You're allowed to eat food as much as you want for medicinal purposes. You can drink whatever drinks you want for medicinal purposes. Chutz mi mei dekalim b'kosi karim b'nei shehen l'yiroka. Other than these two beverages which people take for jaundice, this palm water and this cup of herbs, aval shoseh who made dekalim l'tzma'o v'sach shem and ikarim shlo l'refuah. But if a person is thirsty, they can drink, made the column this palm water, because they're thirsty. That you can do. You're not ill. You're just a healthy person. And you're allowed to rub this ointment on your skin for non-medicinal purposes. That is the heter. And again, that's the bananas for potassium heter. Why is this okay? So it's already 9:22, so I'm not going to, I'm not really asking that question. It's rhetorical. So one explanation why it's okay could be, well, I prepared it before Shabbos, and I already, and no one is going to know that I'm doing it for medicinal purposes, right? But the Rashba gives me a different explanation. Look at the Rashba in source number 39. He says, I'll just read out my translation. He says, this is why he was not bothered by drinking oil on Shabbos, via anigron, for someone who has a sore throat. They had an olive oil-based potion if you had a sore throat. He says, that's okay. Since people normally drink it to enjoy it, that was a thing, and not for medicinal reasons, so now that he does drink it with intent for medication, we don't decree lest one grind ingredients, since he could say he just intends to drink it for pleasure. The rabbis did not distinguish between one who drinks it for medicinal reasons and one who drinks it for pleasure. In other words, it's permitted. Because people often drink it for pleasure, we're not going to sit down and say that you can't. Normal food, whatever qualifies as normal food that people have because they like food, that's mutter. So that's another exception. And then the last exception is the taz that I mentioned earlier when I was causing all the confusion with the tzitz Eliezer. The pure pain relief without medicinal properties. This one is hugely controversial. The Gemara in Shabbos, in source 40, gives you a hangover treatment. Do not try this at home. Don't try getting drunk either. But again, reading just my English translation in the interest of time. Avin Bar Huna quoted Rav Chama Bar Gurya to say, you're allowed to anoint your skin with oil and salt on Shabbos. You can do that. As the Rav Huna from Beit Rav and Rav from Beit Rabbi Chia from Beit Revi, when they were intoxicated, they would bring oil and salt and rub it on their palms and on the soles of their feet, and they would say, just as this oil becomes clear, so may so-and-so's wine become clear. You are allowed to do this hangover treatment on Shabbos. And it's brought in the Shulchan Aruch in Aruch Chaim Shin Chav Ches Mem Aleph. Why is this okay? So I would have said that it's a limited leniency, either because this is like ma'achal briyim, it's like healthy people food. So I'm allowed to rub this thing on my skin that people normally do. That would have been one explanation. Another explanation I would have offered, and in fact the Magen Avraham offers it in source number 41, is that it's because we never cure hangovers with medicine that involves grinding. So therefore you're okay. Now, again, that won't apply in our day, but the Magen Avraham in 17th century Poland said, yeah, we don't treat hangovers with anything that involves grinding. So he thinks that's why the hangover treatment is okay. However, the Taz came up with this wild idea in source number 42. The Taz says no, because removal of intoxication is not medicine. He says the person who is drunk is uncomfortable, obviously, but he's not ill. So undrunkening him, right, removing his intoxication, is not called curing an illness. One should not learn from here to permit what they do in some lands, putting ash from ground-up grass in their nostrils. I don't know if this is snuff. To eliminate intoxication. Is that a thing? Using snuff to get rid of a hangover? It sounds like the sort of thing people would have done, no? So he says, don't permit that, because that ash is medicinal for other things as well. Meaning this thing is used for medicinal purposes for other illnesses, even where one is not intoxicated. And the decree regarding grinding ingredients applies. So the Taz says, I'm only okay with that which is only ever used to alleviate pain. it has no medicinal properties. So Dr. Block's case of aspirin, they would not be okay within this, because aspirin is used for medicinal purposes as well. You would need it to be a case of something that is purely used for pain relief. So that's where I come to the unmedicated cough drops, and whether maybe that qualifies. It's something purely for symptom relief and not for curing. The problem that you run into when you try to deal with this heteropractically, well, first of all, one problem with it is that this taz is wild and quite controversial. The Tzitz Eliezer brings it, which gives it, weight. If I remember correctly, Rabbi Dr. Steinberg in Refuah Kahalacha also brings it. It is brought, but it's a controversial leniency that many poskim are not comfortable with. But the other problem is, what's the difference between pain relief and medicine? Let's say it's an anti-inflammatory. So is that medicinal? Because the inflammation, I understand, within medical science is itself, subject to much discussion, because inflammation can be good. It can help with various things. Is it, is inflammation really, a disorder? But let's pretend that inflammation is a disorder. So a person takes an anti-inflammatory, is that pain relief or is that medicine? It's very hard to say. So not only is this taz controversial as a matter of halacha, it's also controversial in terms of its application. It's hard to really, apply it to a practical case. Okay, so that got us through all the different exceptions. So next week, like I said, we don't have the 8:30 shiur. We have the 7 o'clock, which is Zoom only. And the 9:30 Meyer is going to have to, manage on its own next Monday. But God willing, the week after, we'll wrap this up. So I didn't get back to the question that was asked earlier, the first question that was in the chat. What was it? Someone with a swallowing problem who needs tablets or pills ground up for swallowing. Send me an email or WhatsApp or something with that, and I'll be able to address it. Okay? Yes, Robbie.
So what was the answer with the bandage and the ointment? You didn't answer that part.
The bandage and the ointment.
Like antibiotic on for a kid that has a cut or something.
Right. So also, send me a message and I'll deal with it, because it's a longer discussion and we've got Marvin 1 minute here. Sorry. All right. Thank you very much, everybody.